Blog Talk Radio.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.
God in the Midst, Get 'Em Radio presents Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. Colossians 2, verse 3 says, "In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." The Word of God is a gold mine. If you enjoy mining for gold nuggets in the Word of God, this broadcast is for you. The Lord has gifted Dr. Lorraine Nabarro to uncover hidden treasures in the Bible that will delight you as he reveals a different perspective of his word. So get your pick and shovel, turn your mining hat light on, and let's dig into the Word of God.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.
Hello, and welcome to God in the Midst Radio. My name is Dr. Lorraine Nabarro, and this is Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. Today, we're going to start a new year, a new decade, a new season, and a new series. We're going to be looking at hearing God. Let's open with a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of hearing your word, of being in your word, of hearing your voice through your word. We ask you, Father, as we open the scriptures today, that you open them to us, that we may see you, hear you clearly, that our lives may be improved for it, that we may see you and be more like you day by day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, as I said, it's a season for beginnings. I kind of love this season because in one way it's completely man-made. It's not like something you find in the scriptures that we dedicate a certain time to this. But I like it because it reveals mankind's desire for a reset. Even people in the world, they may not do it so well, and they certainly can use more of God's help doing so. But the goal is to effect change in your life, you know, changes that you wanted to. For the child of God, however, I've seen that most of the time we see a new year as a time for reflection, but it's also a time to seek God. That most of the people I know, anyway, it's a season where we want to hear from God, hear direction from God. Much of the time we want direction, not just for our lives personally, but for ministry, where we should be going, what we should be doing. How can we help others? What would God have us accomplish? And so I really do find that, you know, that opportunity a special time. So we're going to take this month to look at hearing God. And we're just going to follow four, actually this time I guess they're all men, four men on their paths of changes, of direction, of going forward and their need to hear God in that and how that can be related to us. So the first one we're going to look at today in hearing God is hearing God on the way. Hearing God on the way. And so we're going to look at maybe a little bit of an unlikely subject in some ways, but I've always found his path very interesting. But before we get to him, we're going to read the backstory. And if I could give you any words of advice, mine always is keep reading, and back up and get the backstory to things. We're going to open our Bibles to the book of 1 Samuel. And I think we'll start in Samuel chapter 8. Because most of the time, if I tell you and you'll immediately go, aha, we're going to study the man Saul and his journey in following and hearing God. We all know that he was a character that was flawed in many ways. But on the other hand, he was still a vessel chosen by God. Being flawed does not eliminate us from God's service or care, but we can always learn. We learn from everybody. We either learn by example or we learn by admonition. Some people are a cautionary tale. But every life, there are things we see. So I'm going to back up because you really can't talk about Saul without talking about Samuel. And, you know, we kind of blame Saul and the people wanted a king because they saw all the people around them had kings. Well, when God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, we'll do a little history here. You remember they came over, Joshua led them, and then there was a season of what we call judges, which is a bad translation. We know that they really were to be champions or heroes. They were to be leaders. They were to be examples to the people. And so, not judges in the sense we think that sitting in judgment over folk. But that's kind of... And so that had existed. Then we see, you know, from that time, the prophets kind of moved into that position. Well, we see, for example, Eli. Eli was the prophet. And when we count Eli, we don't count him as a great prophet, mainly because his sons turned out to be so bad, didn't they? Hophni and Phinehas, their names are synonymous with bad behavior. And you remember then Eli, you know, keels over dead, etc. But even Eli did one great thing. And sometimes I think we can, even in our own lives, overlook. We can be so focused on what we don't do well that even any of us can do some things that have a very strong and powerful positive impact. Eli was not what we would call a sterling example as a prophet. And basically what disqualified him was his weakness raising his sons. Now, I'm going to point this out because it becomes important. But you remember, this is about the time that Hannah had gone up to the to give offerings and wept sore before the Lord, and God gave her a son whom she named Samuel, who was then given over to the service of God, and then she had many children after that. Anyway, and we have looked at her before. Hannah is a beautiful example of so many great things. But, you know, her enemy provoked her. So I think we looked at her in the month of Thanksgiving, being thankful for our adversaries, that our adversaries can provoke us to faith sometimes. So anyway, Samuel, as a youngster, was given over to Eli to raise. And for all that he did wrong, at least Eli recognized that when the Lord spoke to Samuel, remember Samuel had a dream and where he heard the Lord actually, and he woke up and he said, Master, yes. And finally Eli perceived that he was hearing the voice of God. So even though he had become a corrupt prophet, he still could hear the voice of God. And that's something to always remember. I don't care how far out of bounds we think some people have gotten. We never lose the capacity to hear the voice of God. And I think that's one of the things that we can be thinking about this month as we're thinking about hearing from God, that he still heard from God. Okay. And he taught Samuel to do that. Samuel grew up to be a great great leader. And as a matter of fact, he became the image of a forerunner and example of Jesus where he was both priest and prophet. So that was Samuel. Then we remember in Samuel's lifetime, the people come to Samuel and they say, Samuel, we want a king. Everybody around us says, kings, we want a king. And he goes to God about it, and God tells him, and this is what we read in chapter 8. He says, tell the people they don't want a king. You know, a king's going to do this, and a king's, you know, like where we all see, we don't necessarily want government, but we have to have government. We don't want to pay taxes, but we have to have taxes. They pay for what we need. We don't want this, we don't want that, but we have to. There's always that compromise between the good, the freedom of the individual and the good of the society. And so he was saying, you aren't really going to want a king. And they said, no, we want a king. So he went back to God, and then God talked to him. But there's an interesting little thing here now, and that's why I went back to where Samuel started out, because as we open chapter 8, we see, and it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judges over Israel. The name of his firstborn was Joel, the name of his second was Abiah, and they were judges in Beersheba. His sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre, after money, and took bribes and perverted judgment. So the background for Israel wanting a king was because the leaders put over them were corrupt. That's not the only time we see that. When God wants us to have liberty, but leadership is corrupt, and people would rather have a strong leader that leads them into a kind of strictness. I want to be careful how I word things here. And so we sacrifice what God originally wanted for us. But where that came from, not totally, but one of the things we see is Samuel's sons, and it was quite blunt, were corrupt. They wanted bribes. What they were interested in was money. And so I find it interesting that Samuel basically was replaced, or Samuel replaced Eli's sons because he was pure of heart, and Eli's sons were not. They just were in it for themselves. And yet Samuel, for all the great he did, still did raise two sons that were of the same ilk as Eli's sons, which I find, I don't know, interesting anyway. So they asked for a king. Now, this is kind of the part we mostly know, but I don't know if you knew that about Samuel's sons. And so Samuel bears some responsibility and some grief. If you remember much later, when Saul has become a corrupt king, and it'll be interesting in why you find how he became corrupt. But anyway, and God says, I'm done with Saul. I want you to appoint a new king, which is when we get to David. That Samuel goes to the Lord and begs on the behalf of Saul, getting him confused now, Samuel, who had ordained Saul, when God had rejected Saul, was grieving at the rejection of Saul. And I'm wondering somewhat if it isn't also that he felt he had failed again, that he had failed with his sons, and now he had failed with his, I'll say, son in ministry, if I can say it like that. Anyway, it's just interesting. So Samuel gets instructions from God to ordain. And you'll find this interesting because he doesn't say, okay, fine. He told Samuel, we're going to give him a king. But when he calls Saul, he does not call him as king. He serves as king, but if you'll see the word, it says he was ordained as a captain to the people. And sometimes we have to be very precise at what God gives us and calls us. Because with every position, there is responsibility and there is gifting. And when people sort of slide into a position that they were not meant for, and they may not have the gifting for that. I'll give you an example. There are a lot of people who lead a church who may not be pastoral. They may not be, we call them pastor, but they may be more apostolic, they may be more prophetic, they may be more of a teacher, but they may not be a pastor. But we use that title, we use it frequently, and it really kind of means something different. But pastoral work requires pastoral gifting. One church that I know very well, brilliant man, but he truly was more apostolic, and I don't mean that in the denominational way, but he had no gifting as a pastor. And for a while, he was shrewd enough to hire some underlings who had pastoral care. But that church, as much as it grew large and blessed so many people, blessed the kingdom in so many ways, it also wounded so many people, because the heart of a pastor doesn't wound people. The shepherd would go out and find the one and leave the 99. That's what the pastor does. But in the other kind of leadership may say, well, you know what? To move all this herd forward, I can lose the 10 stragglers. Let's lose them and let's move on forward with the other 400. And that may be acceptable to them. I'm kind of getting left of field. But you understand what I'm saying. We have to be careful of the calling and the gifting. They have to go hand in hand. So anyway, this is the background. Samuel has now been called to ordain someone over the children of Israel as a leader. So that's the backstory. He talked to them. So now we get to chapter 9. It does flow, but you kind of have to read. If you just start in with 9, you don't get it. You've got to go read chapter 8 first. All right. Promise me this year, you'll back up and read what came before. All right. Chapter 9. Now there was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish. We'll go on down. And he was a mighty man of power. All right. So that was the atmosphere in which Saul was raised. His father and his predecessors had been mighty men of power. And this man had a son whose name was Saul, a choice young man and a goodly. And there was not among the children of Israel a goodlier person than he. From his shoulders and upward, he was higher than any of the people. Now, when it says goodly, it doesn't mean good in behavior. It means handsome, comely. He was a very striking man. You all know that he was very tall. He would sort of be like moving among us, an NBA player, you know, just head and shoulders above everybody. And he was strong and he was powerful and he understood those things. And so he inspired that sense of leadership. Okay. All right. So this is verse 3. And the asses of Kish, Saul's father, were lost. All right. So our story begins. The backstory is we know how God and Samuel had conversed and determined that it was time to anoint someone as a captain over God's people. And then but as far as Saul knows, he's at home and his asses, his donkeys, his herd was lost. We don't know how they got lost, but they got lost. Okay. And I just want to start with that. The asses of Kish, Saul's father, were lost. I had a conversation with some friends just the other day, and this has always been something that is of interest to me. When we take a circumstance on the surface, it can look not good in our life, but there can be more to it. That is really that knowing when God is at work, even when it doesn't look good. I'm sure that if any of us had looked upon Jesus on the day of Calvary, we would have done anything in the world to bring that wonderful man down from the suffering he endured. But there was good that came from that. It wasn't in spite of it. It was because of it. And sometimes we understand that when it comes to, like, say, Jesus or other people. We don't always understand in our life. It's not that God wants us to suffer, but God sometimes puts us in positions that he sees as totally good. Remember, we talked about this when we were talking about great deliverances the other few weeks ago, about God bringing Joseph, which if you want to talk about somebody who had, like, what they would consider you one direction for your life, yea, verily, your family will turn against you. They will sell you into slavery. They will lie and say you're dead. And then even when you're in slavery, guess what? We're going to throw you in prison. And then after that, we're even going to have you forgotten. You know, that's not the, that's when we want a word from the Lord, that's not the word we want. But over time, remember, Joseph understood that all the things that had occurred for good. Not necessarily his good, but for the good of his family. He, when his brethren were afraid of him, he said to them, you know, what you did for evil. He isn't pretending they meant good, but God did it for good. Not that God turned it to good, but God did it for good. So here's Saul at home, and his herd was lost. Well, I mean, for some of us, that could be like if you have some disaster or you some financial ruin, and it can feel terrible, you know. But he didn't blame God. He just the asses were lost. I just wanted to stop and read that line again to you one more time. And the asses of Kish, Saul's father, were lost. Kish said to Saul, his son, take now one of the servants with thee. Arise, go. Seek the asses. So Saul was going out to seek something, but he was not going out to seek a calling or seek a ministry or seek anointing. He was going out to serve his father, to seek that which was lost. It just quickly flashes on. Remember when Jesus called Peter, and Peter had been, you know, not too great a fisherman of fish. So God gave him a miracle, so he was a fantastic fisherman of fish. And Jesus said, I'll now make you, excuse me, fisher of men. Amen? But first, Peter had to be fishing for it to make sense for him to be a fisher of men. So here is Saul. The asses were lost, and so God sent him out to seek that which was lost, right? Seek the asses. He passed through the mountains. He went this way, went that way, and he didn't find them. I'm kind of abbreviating quickly. Verse 5, and they were come to the land of Zuph. Saul said to his servant that was with him, come, let us return, lest my father leave caring for the asses and take thought for us. We understand that, doesn't it? At least Saul understood that, look, we've been gone so long looking for these asses. My father's going to say, the heck with the asses. I miss my son. If something happened to him. And he said, behold now. And this is still Saul. And this is important to understand. I'm going to make a point here, believe it or not. And he said, behold now, there is in this city a man of God. And he is an honorable man. Okay? Didn't say his sons were honorable. He was an honorable man. And all that is said cometh to, surely to pass. Now let us go thither. Peradventure he can show us our way that we should go. Again, see, almost like a double meaning. We understand it's the way in which he should go. God is directing him the way he should go. He's just thinking about his asses and going home. Then said Saul to his servant, but behold, if we go, what shall we bring the man? Now, this again is important. It was traditional when you visited a man of God, you visited a prophet, you took a gift, okay? And they were going to ask this question, where were these asses and where should we go from here? Okay. For the bread we had is gone. There's not present to give the man of God. What have we? Okay, so anyway, they had some money. We'll skip some of that. Saul said to his servant, verse 10, well said, come, let's go. So they went to the city where the man of God was, and they went up the hill to the city. They found a young maiden going out to draw water. I could stop there, but I won't. Said unto him, is the seer, that is the prophet, is the seer here? Answered and said, he is. Behold, he is before you. Make haste now, for he came today to the city. So he kind of maybe was like a, you know, a traveling preacher, and he had his circuit, but he's back in the town now. Okay, so they went to him. And basically what he does is he goes to the prophet, the seer, and he asks about these asses. He takes him a gift. Now, this becomes important. I'm going to stop because sometimes we like people either have a black hat or a white hat. We're going to look at some people that we think of as bad and see some good in them. And we also in this series are going to look at some people we think of great and we see some bad in them. So we're going to look at Saul this time, and we're looking and we think of him as just bad. But people don't change who they are. You see, when Saul was lost, he was looking for something and he was lost and he was worried about what his dad would think. His response was, let's go find the seer. Let's get the word from man God. Now, this is important because this is how Saul lived his life. There were many times he would have a question about something, and he would, and you know, that bond, that relationship that he and Samuel had was very important. It maintained. He would continue to seek out Samuel. Now, when he gets into trouble, is a couple of times he gets into some serious trouble when Samuel told him, or Samuel told him to wait, and he didn't wait. But what he did instead was what? He sought, and this was after Samuel was dead, he sought a witch who was a seer as well. I mean, there's a thin line between people who are spiritual, some from one side of the curtain, some from the other, but regardless, He was quote unquote spiritual. And so he sought a woman who could bring up Samuel to give him direction. He was used to going to the man of God. Now, this is something I think of interest because I find it with myself. There are traditional ways I have of doing things. When I want to hear God, there are certain things, certain places, certain times I expect to hear the voice of God. And I can get frustrated when I can't reconstruct those circumstances. Part of this series is also understanding that while God talks to us one way, one time, doesn't mean that's how he's going to talk to us another time. So this has a kind of a two-edged sword. Good for Saul that when he was lost or confused, he sought the man of God. But that became a problem when Samuel died, he was lost, and he continued to look for Samuel, and that's when he went to the witch of Endor, and that didn't work out so well for everybody, did it? No. Okay. But at this point, he talked to the seer, the prophet, which is Samuel. And so Samuel took him, and then Samuel saw Saul. The Lord said unto him, behold, the man whom I speak of, the same. Okay, yeah, well, it was two-directional. When God was talking to Saul, he was talking through Samuel, but God then talked to Samuel saying, I told you that a young man was coming. This is the young man, and that's what we see in verse 7. Okay, because he is saying to Samuel, the Lord had told Samuel in his ear, this is verse 15, a day before Saul came, saying, tomorrow about this time, I will send thee a man out of the land of Benjamin. But he had to use the lost asses to get him there, didn't he? That shall anoint him to be what? K- captain, glad I took time to read this verse to you, not king, captain over my people Israel, that he may save my people out of the hand of the Philistines. That was his job. For I have looked upon my people, because they cry, their cry has come unto me. And when Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said unto him, behold, the man I told you of, here he is. He shall reign over my people. Saul drew near to Samuel, said, tell me, I pray thee, where the seer's house is. He says, oh, that happens to be me. Come and eat with me. You know, and I'll tell you what's in your heart. He was really only asking about the lost asses. But what happened? He said, come on in, and I'm going to tell you more. Have you ever had that when you're looking for one kind of simple thing from God? God, I just need you to heal this left knee. But God gives you so much more than that. And it's like, yeah, that's fine, but that's not what I came for. And that's kind of where Saul was at, okay? And he said, I'll tell you more. And so they went in to dine. He said, I'll tell you your whole heart. Then verse 20, and as for the asses that were lost, see, he sets his mind at ease. And I'm sure I can't imagine Samuel or Saul talking to Samuel saying, come on in and I'm going to talk to you about some things. Oh, but those asses that you were looking for, they were already found 3 days ago. So don't worry about them. They are found. Okay, anyway, so then he talks to him. Saul answered and said, am I not a Benjamin? He tries to disclaim why it should not be he. So anyway, he goes on his way after Samuel talks to him, anoints him. I'm just going to kind of skip through some other stuff to see his journey. So verse 6 of chapter 10, you know, Samuel took a vial, chapter 10, verse 1, Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it upon his head, kissed him and said, is it not because the Lord hath anointed thee to be a captain over his inheritance? Again, I don't see the word king. When they departed me today, you shall find two men. So there's still a series of things that occurred. It wasn't like, boop, the oil is poured on him, now he's king. There is a series of things, and that also is important. It's on his journey, right? Hearing God is not an event. It is a journey. So they salute you. They'll give you bread, etc. Verse 6 says, the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and you shall prophesy with them. All right? That's very important. And shall be what? Turned into another man. That phrase is then repeated again when it occurs. So verse 9, we're skipping on, it says, and it came, and it was so that when he had turned his back to go from Samuel, God gave him another heart, and all those signs came to pass. So there are two, three things I just kind of wanted to kind of get a big picture of it and talk about it. First off, we see that Saul did seek God. He just didn't always know that God doesn't always speak to us the same way. And we have to adapt to that. That's, again, why I said he got into trouble that time. But what he did do, too, is you see that Samuel talked to him not about what he will do, but talk to him about what was in his heart. Most of us, you know, we kind of dance around it, but the reality is when I say ministry, what do we do for God? What is our calling? What is our purpose? It's not so much about events. It's not so much about actions. It's about what is in our heart. God is more interested in talking to us about what is in our heart than events take care of themselves. God uses events to reveal that journey. The asses were lost. God used that to get him to Samuel. When he got to Samuel, the Lord spoke to him, not about, yea, verily, you're going to be this and this, but what was in his heart. Then there were some events that were going to occur. He was going to run into people. They were going to give him things. He was going to respond. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he prophesied, and it what? And he became another man. He changed. See, we want these things from God. We want that direction. We want that word, but we at the same time are anything from afraid to timid to rejecting of the change that occurs. You know, the old thing is, if we just keep doing the same thing, we're going to keep getting the same results. Well, so it is in our lives, in our relationship with God. If everything stays the same, then everything stays the same. We have to be open to change for there to be change. I know I've talked to you about the middle voice in my one of my favorite verses, Corinthians, I think it's 3:18, where it says, when we, you know, behold him, we are changed, in that middle voice. As we change, we are being changed. We can't become something because we determine it. But on the other hand, we can't wait for God to just, poop, transform us. We have to change, and as we change, we are being changed. And that's the picture we see with Saul. God used it on the way. As I started with hearing God, we hear God on the way. There's a journey. There are things, there are circumstances that happen. He just went out to find these lost asses of his father. And this whole thing occurred because God was already working. So it was with Joseph, remember? He went down into Egypt and looked like it was a bad circumstance. But he later revealed, it was so that I could be here to protect, to provide for my family. When that time came, I would already be positioned. Positioned to protect and provide. And so it was with Saul. He went out looking for these lost asses, but God used those circumstances to get that word to him, to get that direction to him. Amen? And when he did, there was still more that had to happen. What else had to happen? He had to be, he had to have some other encounters with other people and other encounters with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit came upon him. It's not that he prophesied. That's great. But he became another man. There are people who come into church all the time. Sometimes they may even stand up and prophesy, but they stay the same old folk they were. I always say that about, you know, Jacob, Israel. There were two big events. They were both big time events, almost at the exact same spot, where he laid down. He had a rock for a pillow, and in his dream, he saw this stairway, this ladder going up, and he saw, you know, the angels going up and going down, etc. And it was like, whoo, he said, I have seen the Lord, you know, and I've seen the gate of heaven, and I have seen the Lord. Yet he got up from that place, dusted off his breeches, and he went on the road still being Jacob. Now he goes through a whole lot of stuff. Again, ran into people, ran into circumstances, met Laban, married both of those daughters, came back as a rich man, but he was still Jacob in the same spot. He sent them all over. He spent the night. He again had a night, a dream. He wrestled with an angel. And at the end, the angel changed his name. He said, what is your name? And he said, will you tell me your name? Like, I'm not going to argue with the angel. Angel, what's my name? I'll give it to him. He said, you will no longer be Jacob, but Israel. Of the two, that was more significant. You can have a dream and see the gate of heaven, but you still walk away from that the same person. What mattered then was when Jacob woke up the next day, or the second encounter, nighttime encounter with God, his name was changed. His nature was changed. And he met his brother in humility. He bowed down to him, the same one he was cocky about before. What we see with Saul is it was important. God used the journey looking for the asses to anoint him, to express what his mission, his ministry, his life, his purpose would be. But also it was important that he have some circumstances in which he had encounters both with people and with God that what? He became another man. Sometimes people are so hungry to hear a word from God. I want to hear from God. And yet they walk away empty, because with that also demands from us a change. So as we kind of wind down this, I know it's kind of gone. We've been on a journey too with Samuel or Saul. But Saul was on a journey that he didn't have any idea what the end of that journey would be. Sometimes God takes us off doing things and we think, what the heck am I doing this for? It doesn't make any sense, or sometimes it can seem bad, or sometimes it can seem... And later you go, ah, now I understand. You may think that the important person you were going to meet, you know, oh, you go to this church, I'm going to meet that pastor, he's so important. And yet the person sitting in the pew next to you becomes somebody so influential in your life. We have encounters with people. We have encounters with God. But for us, not only to hear God, but to follow and to become what God wants us to be, we have to be willing to become another person. We need to change. And so we see this in Saul's journey. He just left his father's house looking for these lost asses. He came back as anointed, as a captain, as a leader. He came back with the Spirit of God. He came back having had a face-to-face encounter with the prophet and with others. He came back having prophesied. He came back with a new heart, with a different heart. May that be the start of our journey for whatever it is that lies in front of us this month, this year, this decade, in Jesus' name. May God continue to speak to you. May you hear his voice in all that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Looking forward to being with you next week. I hope that with all that you hear from God, we can incorporate into who we are, that we may truly be a reflection of him. Have a wonderful week in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for him alone I live.
Thank you for joining God in the Myth, Get 'Em Radio's Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. Enjoy the entire family of Get 'Em Radio broadcasts by calling 619-639-4733. That's 619-639-4733. Now, mark your calendar and set your cell phone alarms. Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures, is aired every Monday at lunchtime, 12 noon Central, 1 p.m. Eastern. Prophetic Healing with Elder Philip Parkey is on the second Wednesday of every month, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern. And the Thursday edition of God in the Myth airs every Thursday at 9 p.m. Central, 10 p.m. Eastern. Once again, you can listen to all these broadcasts as they air by calling 619-639-4733. When you have an opportunity, Google Get 'Em Radio. That's GITM Radio. And listen to this broadcast in its entirety, as well as all of Get 'Em Radio's on-demand archives. As you listen to our archives, click the follow button and you will get a reminder via email of all our upcoming episodes. You may contact us at getemradio@gmail.com or call us at 903-776-4486. We'd love to hear from you. Also, meet us on Facebook at God in the Mist, M-I-D-S-T, and like us because we like you too. Have a blessed rest of the day.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him